Bennet's hopes, expressed to his daughter Elizabeth, that their guest, Mr. Collins, might provide him with a rich source of secret entertainment, were not long in being fulfilled. The breakfast table next morning, with the full family assembled, brought many occasions for a private exchange of glances between father and daughter.
Never in my life experienced such gracious behavior in a person of her rank. Never. In fact, she's invited me to make up her pool of quadrille one evening when one of her guests fell out at the last moment.
Lady Catherine sounds a most remarkable woman. Does she not, Lizzie?
Undoubtedly, Papa.
Oh, she is indeed. She has even condescended to interest herself in my private affairs in a most marked and flattering manner.
Indeed? How very obliging of her. In what way, sir?
Well, sir, it is her gracious wish that I should marry. And she has even been so good as to visit my humble parsonage itself on one occasion to advise upon the addition of shelves and closets upstairs with that object in view.
You astonish me, sir. Truly, interest and patronage could scarcely go further.
And has Lady Catherine no family of her own, Mr. Collins?
She has but one daughter, ma'am, a young lady who, but for her sickly constitution, would undoubtedly be one of the greatest beauties in the land. She, of course, is the heiress of Rosings and all the extensive properties surrounding it.
Then she is extremely fortunate, for some poor girls have nothing in the world to look forward to.
Mama, please.
Yes, as I told Lady Catherine only the other day, the indifferent health of her daughter has robbed the British court of its brightest ornament. And her ladyship seemed quite pleased at my remark.
Indeed.
You may imagine that I'm happy on every occasion to offer these little compliments that are always acceptable to ladies.
It's very fortunate for you, sir, to possess this talent for flattering with such delicacy. May I ask whether these attentions come from the impulse of the moment, or are they the result of previous study?
Well, sir, to tell the truth, I do sometimes amuse myself with suggesting and arranging such things in my mind. But it's always my intention to give them as unstudied an air as possible.
Ah, yes. Yes, that is exactly as I had thought.
Yes, Mr. Berg is a most charming young lady in every respect.
Kitty, sit still. Do not fidget so.
As I always say, she is superior to the handsomest of her sex. Because though her features may want for what the vulgar world calls beauty, there is that in her appearance which constantly marks out the young woman of distinguished birth.
Mama, did you know Uncle Phillips talks of turning away his groom? And if he does, Colonel Forster will take him on.
Shh!
Lydia, I shall walk over to Meryton tomorrow morning to see what has happened, and whether Captain Carter is returned from London. What is the matter? Why do you look at me like that, Mama?
Mr. Collins, I hardly expected you down so early. I trust you slept well.
Excellently, thank you, ma'am. And I'm very glad of this opportunity to speak to you alone, if I may.
Why, certainly, sir, if you wish. Of course.
Mrs. Bennet, your eldest daughter, Miss Jane, is a very handsome young lady, in her way.
Oh, well, thank you, sir.
Yes, I was observing her very closely last night as we sat together in the drawing room. You see, ma'am, living as I do under the shadow of woman such as Lady Catherine de Bourgh, one is apt to use a very severe yardstick, if you see my meaning. But Miss Jane, if I may say so, is not altogether disgraced by the comparison.
You're very kind, Mr. Collins. But I fear perhaps you should know that dear Jane is, well, shall we say that there is a young man of excellent connections and no small fortune. Oh, well, there is no actual understanding yet, so far as I am aware, but I felt you should perhaps be told. I mean, since you are now one of the family, as it were.
Oh, indeed. Thank you, ma'am. I'm grateful for the information.
But Lizzie and the younger girls have none of them an attachment of any kind, at least that I am aware of.
You say Miss Elizabeth has no particular attachment, ma'am?
None, I'm sure, Mr. Collins, none at all. And not that she hasn't many admirers, in her own way, of course.
Oh, of course, ma'am, I'm quite sure.
In fact, in many ways, I always say that Lizzie is really the cleverest of all the girls. Oh, yes, indeed.
After breakfast, Mrs. Bennet made it her business to speak to her daughters upstairs.
Lizzie, my dear, Mr. Collins would greatly enjoy a little exercise this morning. Why not take him for a walk into Meryton and back?
But Kitty and Lydia are already going into Meryton to help Aunt Phillips get ready for her party. Can he not go with them?
Oh, no.
Lizzie, wretched, I had forgot about that. Oh, well, you and he shall go with them. And when the girls stay on to help Aunt Phillips, you may walk back together. How's that, eh?
In that case, I shall make it my business to see that Jane comes too.
The short walk from Longbourn to the town of Meryton was passed in pompous nothings on the part of Mr. Collins, and civil assents from at least his two elder cousins. The two younger girls, however, having their own preoccupations, soon lingered a little behind.
Look, Lydia, Colonel Forster, on the opposite side with that other man.
Goodness, what a handsome fellow.
Lydia, not so loud.
Let's stroll across and look in Wilson's window.
Lydia!
Then they must see us as we pass.
Ah, Miss Lydia, Miss Kitty, the very two young ladies I wanted to see.
Colonel Forster.
Allow me to present Mr. Wickham, who has just joined us. Miss Kitty Bennet, Miss Lydia Bennet.
How do you do, ma'am?
Huh? How do you do, sir?
I've been hearing great things of all your social activities here in Meryton. I think I'm going to be most fortunate.
I hope you're a dancing man yourself, Mr. Wickham.
Oh, I can answer that, Miss Lydia. Wickham will liven us all up, I can assure you.
Lydia, where have you got to? You told Aunt Phillips you will be there, pal.
Oh, I'm sorry, forgive me.
My sister Elizabeth, Colonel Forster, Mr. Wickham.
How do you do, Miss Elizabeth?
How do you do, sir?
I take it we are all bound for the same destination, are we not? You're going to your aunt's, I expect, Miss Jane?
Yes, sir, we are.
So may we go with you?
Of course. Oh, this is our cousin, Mr. Collins, Colonel Forster.
How do you do?
Forster? Would you by any chance be a relation of Sir Edward Forster, a neighbour of my patroness, Lady Catherine de Bourgh?
No, sir, I would not. Excuse me.
May we stroll along together, then, Miss Elizabeth?
Most certainly we may, sir, as far as I am concerned.
Good. Excellent. Really, my first morning in Meryton has begun so well, I can hardly hope it could continue, sir.
Oh, one moment, Mr. Wickham, if you don't mind.
Miss Bennet! Darcy and I were just on our way to Longbourn to inquire after you. Darcy. Did he say Darcy?
Yes, that is Mr. Darcy, the other gentleman.
So it is.
Why, do you know him?
Yes, indeed. I do know the gentleman.
So we have saved you a journey, Mr. Bingley. And you can see for yourself I am quite recovered.
I can indeed. Never seen you looking better, if I may say so.
Hey, Darcy, where are you off to?
If you'll excuse me.
What a curious fellow he is.
Had you not better follow him, Mr. Bingley?
Yes, I suppose I had. Confound the chap.
Yeah, I beg your pardon, Miss Jane.
As they walked home after their visit, Elizabeth related to Jane the circumstances of the strange little encounter.
I could see at once from his manner that there was some previous knowledge and something disagreeable between them.
It was strange behaviour, certainly. To ride away like that almost without a word.
And very rude, in my opinion. But then rudeness seems to be Mr. Darcy's forte.
And you know, I dare say there is some quite simple explanation.
Of course. And equally creditable to both, no doubt. Oh, well, perhaps we shall unravel the mystery tomorrow night. I shall observe both gentlemen with even more than my usual closeness.
Well, Miss Elizabeth, will this suit you? We may sit here in peace without the accusation of being unsociable.
It will suit me excellently. Thank you, Mr. Wickham.
I wanted particularly to speak to you this evening, because I'm sure you must have been a little puzzled at the manner of my encounter with a certain gentleman yesterday morning.
With Mr. Darcy, you mean?
Are you much acquainted with him, ma'am?
As much as I ever want to be. I think him an extremely disagreeable man. And I'm very relieved that he hasn't seen fit to come this evening.
If that is your opinion, then I shall feel myself a great deal freer to speak. And as for his not coming tonight, that doesn't surprise me, I'm afraid, since he knew that I was to be here.
Mr. Wickham, what you say suggests so much. You cannot, in fairness, fail to satisfy my curiosity.
He is, as you probably know, a very wealthy man. His estate at Pemberley is one of the finest in Derbyshire.
Possibly, but I'm afraid that does not excuse his behaviour in my eyes.
No, I'm quite sure. And yet his father, Miss Bennet, was one of the best men who ever breathed, and certainly the truest friend I ever had. That is why I can never be in the company of this present Mr. Darcy without thinking of the father. The behaviour of the son towards me has been scandalous. But I could forgive him all if it were not for the way he has flouted the wishes of that excellent man.
You know the family well, then?
I do indeed, Miss Bennet. The present Mr. Darcy and I were almost, as it were, brought up together. Though our circumstances were totally different, of course. But the late Mr. Darcy was my godfather and took the keenest and kindest interest in my future. Yes, I was to have entered the church and might by now be in the possession of a valuable living if it had not been for the death of that dear, good man. It fell vacant soon after he died, and the son, knowing full well his father's promise, made it his special business to see that it was given elsewhere. I received nothing and was obliged to follow whatever profession I could.
But Mr. Wickham, this is quite scandalous. Could you not have taken it to law? Was there nothing in writing?
Well, the terms of the will were so general that it was advised that it was hopeless. Besides, I had not the means. The law is an expensive business.
But what can have made Mr. Darcy behave so cruelly? Well, I never liked him, I admit, but I didn't think him as bad as this.
Personal dislike of myself, no doubt. Partly due to jealousy, I suppose.
Well, really, Mr. Wickham, this is a most shocking story. The man deserves to be publicly disgraced.
Sometime I have no doubt he will be, Miss Bennet. But it shall not be by me. And now I feel perhaps we should rejoin the others, or our absence may become conspicuous.
Lizzie, I can hardly credit what you say, truly.
Nor I, but that is what he told me. Oh, turn the lamp down a little, or Mama will see the light under the door.
I can only suppose that each has been deceived in the other by some third person. Yes, that is the only possible explanation.
Very ingenious. Then both may be free from blame after all. But what about the third person? You must clear them, too, or we shall be obliged to think ill of somebody.
Laugh at me as much as you like. I shall stick to my opinion.
You are very welcome to it.
But, Lizzie, just think what a disgraceful light this throws on Mr. Darcy, if it's true.
Exactly. That is precisely what I think.
Yet if he is as ill-natured as you say, could such a man as Mr. Bingley make a friend of him? Oh, no, Lizzie, I think not.
I could much more easily believe in Mr. Bingley's being deceived than that Mr. Wickham should have invented such a tale with names, facts, and everything quite correct as he did this evening. And anyway, if it is not so, then let Mr. Darcy deny it.
Oh, it's all very distressing. One hardly knows what to think.
I beg your pardon, Jane, dear. One knows exactly what to think.
The next social activity to fill the hearts of all at Longbourn with agreeable anticipation was the ball at Netherfield. But any hopes that might have been entertained in private of Mr. Collins refusing to accompany them on grounds of principle were soon dashed.
On the contrary, Miss Elizabeth, I am by no means of the opinion that a ball of this kind, given by a young man of good character to respectable people, can have any evil tendency. I shall hope to be honoured by the hands of all my fair cousins in the course of the evening, and I take this opportunity of soliciting yours, Miss Elizabeth, for the first two especially.
Mr. Collins.
Cousin Jane will understand my reason for not asking her, I'm sure.
I
shall look for you then, Miss Elizabeth, as soon as the music starts.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Collins. Jane, why in the world did I speak? This is indeed a punishment.
There you are, Miss Elizabeth. Miss Jane. Excellent. Caroline told me you had arrived. Miss Jane, may I have the honor?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Bingley, of course.
Please forgive me for taking her away, Miss Elizabeth.
Why,
But I see Foster has his eye on you already. Come then, let us join in before the set is complete.
Ah, Miss Bennet, the very person I wanted to see. I'm afraid I have an apology for you. From a friend.
From me, Colonel Foster?
Can you not guess from whom? George Wickham, of course.
From Mr. Wickham? Then he has not come?
He asked me specially to tell you. He's been obliged to go to London on business at the last moment. He's very sorry.
Oh, dear, how extremely unfortunate.
But I rather imagine that his real reason is a determination not to meet a certain gentleman whom I think we both know. Don't you, eh, Miss Bennet?
Then I think it is most unfair, Colonel Forster. Most unfair.
Your anger does you credit, ma'am.
Oh, sir. So there you are. Now you must positively come and join us. I shall not take no for an answer.
Oh, but I was talking to your sister, my dear.
Oh, she doesn't mind, do you, Lizzie? Well, now come on, we want but one more for the set and then we're complete.
Lizzie?
Oh, Charlotte.
I saw you dancing just now with your cousin, Mr. Collins, and you didn't allow him even one little smile, poor man.
Did I not? Oh, it was quite unconscious. In any case, I'm sure Mr. Collins is far too...
Lizzie, what is the matter?
Good evening, Miss Bennet. Miss Lucas?
Oh, Mr. Darcy, I did not see you.
Are you by any chance engaged, ma'am?
Me? No.
I have the great pleasure.
Oh, but I thought...
I will come back for you in a moment, then. Thank you.
But Mr. Darcy... Oh, goodness, what in the world have I done?
I dare say you'll find him quite agreeable, you know, once you're together.
But Charlotte, heaven forbid! That would be the greatest disaster of all, to find a man agreeable whom one is quite determined to hate.
Come, Mr. Darcy. It is your turn to speak now. I have remarked on the size of the room. You ought to do so now on the number of couples.
Do you talk by the rule, then, while you're dancing?
Well, it is better than not speaking at all, is it not? But I have always noticed a great similarity between us on matters of that sort.
Have you, ma'am?
We are each of us by nature unsocial, taciturn, and unwilling to speak unless we can be sure of saying something that will amaze the whole room. Is that not so, Mr. Darcy?
That is hardly true of you, ma'am. How much it may be of me, I'm not the one to say. Clearly, you think it.
Let me try once more. When we met you and Mr. Bingley the other day, we had just had the pleasure of making a new acquaintance. Someone I think you already know.
I presume you mean Mr. Wickham.
I do, sir.
Wickham is blessed with the ability to make friends very easily. Whether he can keep them is not so certain.
He has been unlucky enough to lose your friendship, certainly, Mr. Darcy, and in a manner that he is likely to suffer from all his life.
That is how he sees it, no doubt.
I remember you once saying that when your resentment was roused against anyone, you found it well nigh impossible to change your opinion of them. I hope you are extremely careful in how you allow it to be aroused in the first place, Mr. Darcy.
Oh, I am. Very careful.
And you never allow yourself to be blinded by prejudice?
I certainly hope not. But may I ask where these questions are supposed to be leading?
Merely to a proper assessment of your character. I am trying to make it out.
With any success?
Very little. In fact, I do not get on at all. I hear such conflicting accounts of you that they puzzle me exceedingly.
I can very well believe that, knowing who at least one of your informants must be. But I could wish that you'd suspend your judgment a little, Miss Bennet, until some later date.
But if I do not take your likeness now, sir, I may never get another chance. Oh, it seems I am not to do so after all. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Darcy, for your company.
Thank you, ma'am.
Ah, Miss Liza, how fortunate to find you alone for a moment.
Have you been looking for me, then, Miss Bingley?
Well, your sister Eliza has just been telling me that you were quite delighted with George Wickham the other day. Is that so?
I found him very agreeable company, certainly. Why should I not?
Let me recommend you, as a friend, not to place too much reliance on what he says. For instance, I've no doubt he told you at great length that Mr. Darcy has used him very ill, when in fact the reverse is the case, and it is George Wickham who has taken every opportunity of abusing Mr. Darcy.
But perhaps he considers that he has good cause.
His coming here at all was impudence enough in the first place, because no doubt he omitted to tell you that his father was old Mr. Darcy's steward.
If you have nothing worse to accuse him of than that, Miss Bingley, I am afraid I am not persuaded.
I beg your pardon, Miss Eliza. Excuse my interference. It was kindly meant.
Stupid, insolent girl.
Nevertheless, Elizabeth was sufficiently disturbed by Miss Bingley's communication to seek reassurance from Jane at the earliest opportunity.
I'm anxious to know what you've learned about Mr. Wickham from Mr. Bingley, Jane. Oh, perhaps you were too busy discussing other things.
No, I spoke about him, but I'm afraid I have nothing very satisfactory to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
From all accounts, I fear Mr. Wickham is by no means a respectable young man.
Oh? And whose opinion is this?
He has been very unwise, by the sound of it, to say no more, and has thoroughly deserved to lose Mr. Darcy's favour.
That is Mr. Bingley's account of it, I suppose. But does he know Mr. Wickham personally?
No, but he fully accepts Mr. Darcy's word on the matter.
Dear Jane, I was not questioning Mr. Bingley's sincerity, I assure you. Then the opinion is Mr. Darcy's, and Mr. Darcy's only. Thank you. My point is answered. I am quite satisfied. Goodness, Jane, don't leave me.
Why? What?
Miss Elizabeth, I have just this minute made the most astonishing discovery. Excuse me, Miss Jane, but you will understand my excitement in a moment. Miss Elizabeth, it has just been brought to my notice by a singular accident that there is in the room, at this moment, a very near kinsman of my patroness, Lady Catherine de Bourgh.
Really, Mr. Collins? I can well understand your emotion.
Who could have thought that this remote distance from Rosings, fate would have brought me into the path of her nephew? For that is what Mr. Darcy proves to be.
Mr. Darcy? Lady Catherine's nephew? Is this really so?
It is. Indeed it is, I assure you. I was entirely ignorant of the fact until a moment ago. But I'm only glad I made the discovery in time to go and pay my respects to him.
Oh, Mr. Collins.
I trust you will excuse the fact that I've not done so before, but my total ignorance of the connections plead my apology.
Mr. Collins, you are not going to introduce yourself to Mr. Darcy?
Indeed I am. And it will be in my power to assure him that her ladyship was perfectly well a fortnight ago yesterday.
Mr. Collins, I do not wish to interfere, but I really do not think it would be wise.
Oh? How so?
Well, Mr. Darcy is, shall we say, not always the easiest of men.
Really, Miss Elizabeth, you must allow me to be the judge of these matters. If you mean to imply that a person in my station may not approach a man of Mr. Darcy's rank, I would point out that the clerical office that I hold is considered by many the equal in dignity with the highest rank in the kingdom, provided, of course, that it is accompanied by a proper humility in the holder.
Oh,
pardon me for neglecting to profit by your advice, which upon every other subject I hold in the very highest esteem. But on this occasion, I naturally feel myself more fitted by education and study to decide what is right than a young lady like yourself, if you will excuse me.
Well, really? Oh, Lizzie, Lizzie, your expression just now. Well, he deserves all that he will receive, in my opinion.
It is the most fortunate thing, Lady Lucas, the most fortunate circumstance in the world, because with dear Jane connecting herself with a family of such substance, it naturally increases the opportunities for my other dear girls to meet young men of good prospects.
Mama, I do wish you wouldn't speak so. I keep telling you there is no understanding between myself and Mr. Bingley. None at all.
Oh, my dear Jane, we all have eyes in our heads. Thank you. And Lady Lucas is of the same opinion as I, my dear. Oh, but there, I'm sure dear Charlotte's time will come one day. It must. must eventually. I'm quite certain of it.
Ma, please.
And Mr. Bingley is such a charming man, is he not? So friendly and civil spoken. Quite puts one at one's ease. Such a gentleman. Not like that horrid friend of his. Such condescending manners. If you ask me, there's no real breeding there, you know. I cannot imagine why a man of Mr. Bingley's type should make such a friend of him.
Mama, Mr. Darcy is standing just there. He can hear you.
Indeed. And that's him. Not as Mr. Darcy to me that I should be afraid of him. I'm sure I owe him no civility, thank you. None in the world.
Oh, Mr. Darcy, I've been seeking you everywhere.
Me, sir?
Mr. Darcy, if I did not betray a proper concern and respect towards yourself when we were introduced just now, pray forgive me.
Towards me, sir? I noticed nothing.
The truth is that it was not until a moment ago that I was aware of your connection with my patroness, Lady Catherine de Bourgh of Rosings.
Oh, no, sir.
Lady Catherine has done me the great honor of entrusting me with one of the livings at her disposal, Mr. Darcy. Mm. And she has even been so gracious as to summon me to her drawing room on several occasions. So it is not beyond the bounds of possibility that we might meet again and renew our acquaintance there one day.
In that case, I suppose it is not. If you'll excuse me, Mr. Collins.
Of course, naturally. I hope you didn't object to my dressing in this way.
Not at all. Now, if you don't mind.
Thank you, Mr. Darcy. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Oh, well, that is what I call a truly delightful evening. And though I do say so myself, I'm sure nobody danced more than you girls. There was that little Molly, what's her name, sitting in a corner half the evening almost. I felt quite sorry for her poor dear mother. Did you not notice, Jane, dear? Oh. Yes, they're all gone to sleep. Oh, well, I shall not waste my breath for them.